Where in hell can you go? Far from the things that you know, far from the sprawl of concrete that keeps crawling its way. Keep your heart off your sleeve.
Guppy Productions presents Series 2 of From Colchester to Sulawesi, written for Colm Radio by Phil Boast and Paula Larcher. Episode 4 of 6, To Kill or Not to Kill.
The text message that we received from Oni is short and to the point. It says simply, "Tomorrow I am leaving to work in Surabaya." We know nothing of Surabaya, other than that it is the second largest city in Indonesia after Jakarta, and that, like Jakarta, it is located on the island of Java. What we are fairly certain of is that Oni has no intention of moving to Surabaya or anywhere else. He has his house and life here. And on the whole, Indonesians don't travel well. This is Mind Games, a statement designed to provoke a reaction. And in this regard, it works, because we have to react. So we'll phone him. But first, strong coffee and discussion about the implications of the message. In the first instance, we agree that in terms of everyday life, we would in fact be far better off without him, our last few meetings having seen nothing positive happen between us. We've paid him off and have been glad to see the back of him. He seems now to be in a constant state of grim agitation and not pleasant company at all. No talk of the future, our business, or how he will fit into the general running of the lodge from now on. Just silliness, really, and not nice silliness either. So we wouldn't miss him, but he is still our business partner, and most importantly of all, he has been responsible for obtaining all of our documents, from our land ownership certificates and business registration document to our immigration papers and work permits and so on. And some of these he still holds, and we need them back if we are to continue to live and work here. Oni knows this, of course, and that he holds this last and considerable power over us, and is perhaps expecting or hoping that we will try to persuade him to stay and to not depart to his imagined new life. But we agree that we aren't going to play it that way. So Phil phones him and says, "Fine, Oni, it's your life and you must do as you wish, but we need our documents," and tells him that we are coming to his house to collect them. This meets with the expected angry reaction. So Phil ends the call and we try to prepare ourselves for whatever may happen next.
We explain the situation to Aris, who drives us to Oni's house, which is about an hour's drive from the lodge. The house is small but well appointed, and this is the first time that we have been there. We try to reason with Oni, once again reiterating that he must do what he feels is right for him, but we need our papers. He refuses to give them to us, and no amount of reason can break any ice here. He's beyond reason now, and at one point during the quite lengthy discussions, he raises a fist to Paula and threatens to hit her, perhaps trying to provoke me into a physical confrontation, which is a mistake. I intervene between them, refusing to be drawn into a fight, and his next move is to take a jerry can of petrol and throw it over the jeep, with a view to setting a match to it. By now, Yanti, his wife, who we have only met on the odd, rare occasion, is screaming at him to stop. The jeep is parked only a matter of feet from the house, and she is rightly concerned that if the jeep catches fire and explodes, then so will the house. Oni backs off. Aris, who has been silent throughout, starts the vehicle, and Paula and I get in and we drive away, with no documents and as yet no idea what to do next.
So, that was quite dramatic then. And on the journey back, we have a bit of a regroup. This has now gone beyond getting our documents. Crimes of violence against women, or even the threat of violence against women, are very badly thought of in Indonesia. And this has now become a police matter. We defer to Aris as to what to do from here. And he decides that we should first go and see Nyoman's father, who, aside from being a healer and a witch doctor, is generally regarded as being a wise and thoughtful person. So we drive to Njomen's father's house, and the brothers, his sons, are summoned to a meeting. These are Augustus, the eldest brother, Prama, the gangster, Samuel, Raymond, and Tom, who is a policeman. The only missing brother is Njomen, who is looking after the lodge, so we decide that it's better not to involve him for now. By now, we speak some Indonesian, but find it hard to follow the conversation as the family discuss the situation, which all regard as being very grave indeed. This is not a violent culture. Indeed, compared to England, crime of any kind is rare here. And whilst raising a fist to a woman in England would barely register as anything in particular, here it is taken very seriously indeed, and a white woman at that. So we listen and try to understand, and we get the gist of it as they discuss the various options available to us. Prama, the gangster, who is well respected in the Docklands of Manado, and is a generally fairly affable sort of person, and who Phil and I both like very much, comes up with one possible solution. For the Indonesian equivalent of just over £100, we could resolve the situation permanently, and we would never see Oni again, and nor would anybody else. This is, in fact, not so impractical an idea. The police here don't investigate crimes such as disappearing people unless paid to do so. And nobody in Oni's social or family circles would have the money to pay them. So it could probably be done without much fuss or bother. But still, having him killed is probably a bit drastic. So Phil and I exchange looks and quickly reject the idea. So let's try and think of something else, shall we? We do, after all, have a policeman among us, although Tom does not seem particularly adverse to the idea of having a contract killing organised. It's a fair cop, after all. In the end, and since Papa is fortunately also against the idea of premeditated homicide, at least for now, we decide that it must henceforth become a police matter, which is more Tom's domain. So it is he who will guide us through the next phases of our particular problem. In the first instance, we must get our papers back, which all agree is still our main priority. But we can use the fact of Oni's threatening violence against me as a lever to instigate police involvement, and Tom knows how. It's been quite a long meeting, and a very interesting one, and let's see how it goes from here.
We return to the lodge, and Aris gives Njoman chapter and verse as to how the day has gone so far. With very little further provocation, Njoman would probably sort Oni out himself, which he could easily do, and for which he has, in truth, been looking for an excuse, and now he has one. And it was probably just as well that he was not at the meeting to encourage opinion in a more violent direction. I don't understand, Oni. He's worked for us since the beginning of all this, and we've had our good times together, quite a lot of them, in fact. He's clever and highly motivated, having taught himself English to a high standard, and now, with us living here, he could begin a new future and have income and security for life, or for as long as Bahowo tourism becomes and remains a viable business. So why now has he turned against us? At the foundation of all this is the fact that our land is in his name, and so in all official senses he owns it, and if, as I have long suspected, it is his intention to sell the land, lodge and all, to somebody else, why has he not tried to do so before we arrived here, when it would have been so much easier for him? Perhaps he has tried to do so without our knowledge, or perhaps he is fighting with his own conscience, who yet knows? And today has raised more questions than it has answered. Even now I am reluctant to fight with him, and would much prefer to find an amicable settlement. We could have paid him off and found a new business partner, agreed to change the names on everything and go our separate ways, but we're beyond that now, and our future here is all that really matters. In any case, tomorrow we will go to the main police station in Monado with Tom and make our report and begin that which will no doubt be a long and unpleasant business. If this is to be our Eden, then we have found our serpent and must be rid of it, one way or another. I confess that it took me, in the order of magnitude of 2 or 3 seconds longer than Paula, to conclude that paying a hitman was not the way. Or maybe it was nearer 5 seconds. But anyway, this will now move on to a higher level, and who knows what the powers that be will make of it all. But we will know soon enough.
Motherland, cradle me. Close my eyes, lullaby me to sleep. Keep me safe, lie with me. Stay beside me, don't go. Don't you go.
Find out what happens when we return to the adventures of Phil and Paula in Sulawesi in next week's episode of Bill's Big Bag of Onions, here on Cone Radio.